heard read and proclaimed. Let us take a few moments of silence. Silence to shut out those outside distractions that can make it hard for us to hear. Silence to open our hearts and our minds that we might truly hear God's word to us. Let us now go to God in a time of silence, beginning and ending with the bell. Our first scripture lesson today is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Listen now to the word of the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into the Lord's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is the Lord that made us, and we are God's. We are God's people and the sheep of the Lord's pasture. Enter the Lord's gates with thanksgiving and God's courts with praise. Give thanks to God. Bless the Lord's name. For the Lord is good. The Lord's steadfast love endures forever, and the Lord's faithfulness to all generations. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading from this morning comes from Genesis chapter 18, the first 15 verses. Today's sermon is the first in a series of seven. I'll be preaching on the heroes and the heroines of the faith. And today we focus on Sarah and on Abraham. Listen now for God's word to and for us. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them, and he bowed down to the ground, and Abraham said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf tender and good and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds with milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood with them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" And Abraham said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife shall have a son." Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?' At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And God said, "Oh yes, you did laugh. The Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as God had promised. Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at a time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son whom Sarah bore him. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Now Sarah said, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who would have ever have said to Abraham and Sarah that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." for the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. Have you ever laughed at God or something that God had promised you? I did. My name was Sarah, but it's not the given name that my parents gave me. That name was Sarai. And I was born in Ur by the Euphrates River in what is now the country that you know as Iraq. When Abraham and I married, we were the envy of everyone. You see, at that time, I was very beautiful, and Abraham was very wealthy. We dreamed of having a big family. At first, when no children came, the older women came to me and just reassured me, telling me to give it more time. But as the years passed and we remained childless, their kindness turned to pity. In time, Abraham's father moved us to Haran, a city in what is now the country of Turkey. I was glad to get away from all those whispers and stares. Maybe a new start was exactly what we needed. But after the move, still, there was no baby. Every time I brought it up to Abraham, he reassured me, telling me that he loved me and that his wealth would be just fine for providing for us in our old age. I suppose that I was lucky. Women in that time and place were most valued for the sons that they gave birth to. And Abraham had every right to divorce me for not giving him a son. Well, the days turned to months and the months turned to years. And after 50 years, at the age of 65, I had just about given up all hope. When Abraham's father died, he came and he told me the strangest story. It was so strange that I thought it must be the grief talking. He said that God had told him to leave our home in Haran, saying to Abraham, "I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." I had never heard of this God before. And I didn't want to start over again, but I followed my husband as a dutiful wife. Eventually, we settled in the land of Canaan in a place called the Oaks of Mamre. It was about 20 miles west of the Dead Sea. It was there that Abraham's hope for children was renewed. He claimed that God spoke to him a second time, promising him both land and descendants, saying, "I will make your offspring more numerous than the dust of the earth." Well, to put it mildly, I had my own doubts. At best, it was Abraham's wishful thinking talking, and at worst, he was starting to lose it. Whatever it was, after each vision, however, Abraham seemed to be at peace. And if I am truthful, the visions gave me hope too. Somehow just praying to Abraham's God just gave me the courage to go on. Then came that awful news that about Abraham's nephew Lot. He and the people that had followed him when we went our own ways had been taken prisoner by the king of Babylon. I told Abraham to stay out of it. After all, if something happened to him, what in the world would happen to me? But Lot was like the son that Abraham never had, and Abraham risked his life to save him. After Lot was safe, Abraham sacrificed to God and gave thanks. But his visions, they kept getting stranger and stranger. And if you ask me, I would tell you that he was probably suffering after what he had been through in warfare with Lot and getting Lot back to safety. He was probably suffering from what you know as PTSD. In the third vision, He told me that God repeated the promise of land and descendants, but this time Abraham suggested that since we were childless, that his slave, Eliezer, become the heir. Abraham said that the Lord denied it, saying, "Look toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be." Well, Abraham wasn't the only one who tried to force God's hand. 10 years had passed since we moved to Haran, and still there was no child, and so I gave Abraham my maid, Hagar. Well, that was the worst mistake of my whole life, because she never let me forget that she gave him the son that I couldn't. When their son Ishmael was born, all the hope within me turned to bitterness. But Abraham, he never gave up hope. On his 99th birthday, he came and told me about the most fantastic vision of all. For the fourth time, he claimed that God came to him and promised once again land and descendants. But this time, the Lord changed his name from Abram to Abraham, meaning the father of nations. And he said, "My name would not be Sarai anymore, but Sarah. And I would bear the son to be the mother, become the mother of nations." Abraham said that he found it so funny that he fell on his face, laughing when he heard it. Who could blame him? We were so old by then. He was worried that the Lord would be upset with him for laughing, but honestly, I wanted to ask him, how could someone or something that doesn't exist be upset with you? But instead, I heard myself just saying, "Yes, dear." Less than a month later, after finishing the midday meal, Abraham entered our tent to escape the heat and to get a little rest. I had just started dozing off when Abraham ran out of the tent. "What now?" I wondered. After a few minutes, Abraham quickly returned. He grabbed the wash basin. He told me to make 3 cakes, and he told one of our servants to kill the best calf of the herd. "We have visitors, Sarah," he told me. "They are holy men, messengers from God." "What do they want with us?" I asked him skeptically. "I do not know," Abraham said. As soon as he left, I remember muttering to myself, "Not only is he hearing things, but now he's seeing things. Why messengers? Why not God himself?" Still, I was curious, and I listened from inside the tent, being careful not to make any noise so I wouldn't be found out. My ears perked up when I heard my name, and then I heard one of them say something that seemed to me like a cruel joke. "I will return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son." Well, now it was my turn to laugh. Me, an 89-year-old woman with a husband who was as good as dead, give birth? I laughed to myself without making a sound. The next thing I heard the man say startled me. "Why did Sarah laugh?" When I said, "Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?" Now there was no one and no way that anyone could have heard me. It was as if he had read my mind. It would have been impossible unless Abraham was right, and these were divine messengers. Could it be true? Were they God's messengers? Could Abraham's God be real? Could the promise be true? The next thing I heard the visitor say was, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Well, you know the rest of my story. At age 90, I did give birth to a fine son, and as the Lord had commanded, we named him Isaac, which means he laughs, or it can be translated as God smiles. God did indeed smile on us. God kept God's promises to us, and we became not only the parents of Isaac, but the parents of nations. This is my story, but it's your story too, because all of you are heirs of the covenant through Jesus Christ. God told Abraham, "I will establish my covenant between you and me and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant." Just as God heard and saw me, God sees and hears each one of us, whether we speak out loud or just thinking. God knows all of our grief, our confusion, and our pain. And hears us when we pray, when we laugh, and at all other times. Just as God had a plan for Abraham and me, God has a plan for each one of us, because God never forgets and never stops loving God's own. Is your life at a dead end? God is especially good at helping you make U-turns. Perhaps you've given up on your dreams. Then take heart in remembering my story. It's not over until it's over. Do you feel as if there is no realistic hope left? Then I ask you, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Our God is the one who brings blessings from barrenness, life from death, joy from bitterness and sorrow. Our God is the one who makes all things new. And now to the one who is able to do more in our lives, more than we can ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church, both now and forever. Amen.
As Dawn mentioned, during the last month, we have been highlighting our mission at
Please be reminded that all are invited to a time of fellowship and refreshments immediately following the worship services. God's promises can be trusted. So as you leave today, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.